May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If the Old Testament reading we heard today was all you knew of the book of Job, you might get the wrong impression. You might think it's quite an uplifting book. Perhaps the words are familiar to you from Handel's Messiah. In part three, in a towering soprano voice, you hear the words ring out, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." What a glorious anthem. What a clear-sighted hope from Job. And what a strong faith he must have had. But if we read the rest of Job, we get a bit less of a rosy picture. Job was a prosperous man who had a big, happy family and abundant possessions. He was known also as a good and faithful man who honored God. And then things took a devastating turn. First, a group of people attack his eldest son's house. Then a fire falls from the skies and burns up his flocks of sheep. Then another group of raiders come and attack his servants and steal his camels. And finally, a great wind blows and knocks down the house where his children are, killing them all. And then came the bodily suffering. His body was afflicted with loathsome sores, the text says, from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. This is one of the hardest and most distressing stories in all of Scripture. There's loss upon loss upon loss. Job's world fell apart in an instant. This all happens in the first two chapters of the 39-chapter book. The majority of the book contains conversations between Job and his three friends. And his friends try, quite unsuccessfully, to help him make sense of his suffering. His friends want some explanation for what happened, perhaps so they can comfort themselves that this won't happen to them. They all tell Job that he suffers because he has sinned. In their view, the world works in quite a simple way. If you do good, if you honor God, if you're a faithful and upright person, then good things will happen to you. And sometimes that is the case. There are parts of Scripture that speak this way. For instance, in the Ten Commandments, if you honor your father and your mother, God says you will live long in the land that God gives. And there are plenty of places that describe the blessings of the righteous and condemnation for those who live wickedly. But Job sees through this and refuses to believe things are this simple. He knows he has done nothing to deserve what has happened. Instead, Job rails against God. "How could you let this happen to me? Do you even care? Justify yourself." And the question, so often uttered from the depths of suffering, "Why, God? Why is this happening?" There are no satisfying answers given to tragedy, not in the book of Job, and not in our own lives. There is simply no making sense of some things that happen. But even Job holds on to a glimmer of hope. In the midst of his questioning, Job utters these words that we heard read today. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." Job knows, despite all that is happening to him, and despite all his unanswered questions, that there will be a Redeemer. That even after his body is destroyed, he will one day see God. See God who is on his side, he says. Job knows he will see God with his very own eyes. Now, it's not totally clear who Job is imagining as the Redeemer figure here. The word is goel in Hebrew, and that could mean a few different things. It could mean a relative who would redeem the land for a family member who had died, making sure it stays in the family. It can also mean a vindicator who would enact justice on behalf of the family member who was wronged. But it can also refer to God. In quite a few places in Scripture, God is called a goel for God's people, because God redeems them from slavery and from exile. Though Job might not have known it, he was painting a picture for us as Christians, a picture in which we would see Christ. For us, Christ is the one who will stand upon the earth and has defeated all the forces of sin, evil, and death. He is the one who will raise up all who have died, that they might see God with their own eyes whenever they look at him. This is not an easy hope. Job uttered these words from the hardest of places. It was a desperate hope. It was an end of the rope sort of hope, spoken by a man who had nothing left to give. It was a hope that came not from a strong faith, but a faith that doubted intensely. But it was a real hope. Your struggles might not be as intense as Job's, or they might be. But we all get to the end of our ropes. And there, waiting at the bottom, is Jesus. In the summer of 2017, I was placed at an Episcopal church in Nashville, Tennessee, to serve an internship. And in one of my first weeks at the church, I was asked to help with a burial service for a woman who left behind a husband and two teenage kids. This was the first Episcopal burial service I had ever been to, so I didn't know what was coming or what to expect, but I followed my orders. Get the Paschal candle, the big candle we use at Easter and at baptisms. Line up to lead the procession into the church and start walking when I was told to. I got the nod, I started walking, and then I heard a voice from behind me, totally filling the church. I am resurrection and I am life, says the Lord. These words from the Gospel of John rang out like a light that was piercing through the darkness. And the priest continued, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. After my awaking, he will raise me up. And in my body I shall see God. I myself shall see and my eyes behold him who is my friend and not a stranger. These were Job's words, spoken from the midst of his grief and suffering, spoken into our grief and loss. These words aren't a naive hope. They're a desperate hope. They're a real hope that God will raise the dead. Jesus Christ is our resurrection and life. In him, what feels like only loss can somehow be turned to gain. In him, what feels like only aching absence can be turned into presence. In him, what appears to be only death, a full stop to life, can bring about new resurrection life. There are no easy answers for Job. There are no easy answers for us, but there is hope that God offers us, a resolute hope in who God is and what God will do. God is a God of the living, not the dead, and God will bring new life, even from the ashes.